Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Can you imagine being Abraham? Can you imagine hearing what God commanded him here in our Old Testament reading, to really go and sacrifice his son? And just to underscore the difficulty of Abraham's situation, let's have a little history lesson on Abraham's past. God made promises to him about having innumerable descendants. Back in Genesis 15, God took Abraham out to look at the sky and said to him, "Look toward heaven and number the stars if you are able to number them." Then he said to him, "So shall your offspring be." He had also promised Abraham that nations and kings would come from his descendants. He promised that in Abraham all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And this was the promise of the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. According to the flesh, he would be a descendant of Abraham. So surely Abraham could expect that he would have descendants. God had promised, after all. But he waited year after year after year, getting older and older without having any children, and his wife, too, getting older and older, until finally, 25 years after God first made his promise to Abraham, when he was 100 years old and his wife was 90, God granted them their son, Isaac. Finally, the promised son. Finally, the one through whom God would fulfill his promises. Now, but God said, "This is the one. I'm going to establish my covenant with this one." Now it seems that Abraham could rest in peace, knowing that God had fulfilled his promises. But Isaac gets a little older, and God calls to Abraham and now commands him to take this son whom he loves, and sacrifice him. God says in our Old Testament reading for today, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." This is the son that Abraham has been waiting for all this time. Here is the only son that he has with Sarah. Here is the son whom he loves. Here is the son that God himself has promised. Here is the son through whom God was going to bring the Christ and bless all nations. And God is asking Abraham to take this son now and offer him as a burnt offering, to kill him as an offering to the Lord. Now we might expect that Abraham might have second thoughts. Perhaps Abraham would say, no, let's try something different, God. Let's do something else. But Abraham actually does obey God's command. He takes his son, his only son, whom he loves, to the mountain which God would show him to sacrifice Isaac. Abraham trusted the Lord, trusted his promises, and trusted his power to fulfill these promises. Even when it looked like those promises could not be fulfilled, it looked like he would not have the descendants through Isaac. But he still trusted God. In the New Testament book of Hebrews, we hear some more about what Abraham believed. There it says that Abraham considered that God was able even to raise Isaac from the dead. Abraham believed that God could perform a miracle, that he was going to obey what God said, and that God was going to take care of the rest. God could even raise Isaac from the dead. And so, too, in that, in raising Isaac from the dead, that God would still fulfill his promises. However it happened, Abraham trusted God. And Abraham displayed great faith as he brought Isaac as well up to this mountain. As he's going up the mountain, we hear Isaac ask this question of Abraham. Isaac, being observant, it looks like, says, "Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" And I can imagine Abraham taking a deep breath and looking at his son and knowing that here before his eyes, the one who has asked the question, "This is the lamb for the burnt offering." And how in the world is he going to answer this astute question from his son? And how does he answer? He answers with an answer that expresses faith and trust in God's promises. He says, "God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." He knows that God will provide in some way. And he trusts God's promises, that God will still fulfill his promises, even though he may not see how that exactly could happen. Here it might have seemed that Abraham was leading his son, his only son whom he loved, like a lamb to the slaughter, to be this lamb. The firstborn son whom he and his wife had perhaps watched over with all the attention that a firstborn gets, seeing him crawl and walk and waiting for the first words. This one was being led like a lamb to the slaughter. But still Abraham obeyed God's command, and he kept going up that mountain. And what's more, Isaac also trusted his father and trusted the Lord's promises. Because Abraham now has to build the altar, put down the wood, and now bind Isaac. Now, Isaac is a lot younger than his father, who's over 100 years old. Isaac could have run away at this point, said his father was crazy. But he believes the promises of God. He trusts his father. And he is bound and he is laid on that altar. And then Abraham takes the knife to kill his son. And perhaps as he's holding it over his son, the angel of the Lord calls out to him, "Abraham." And I'm sure Abraham was glad to stop and to listen. And the angel calls out to him, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing that you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." Abraham feared God. He feared God's wrath against disobedience more than he feared losing his son. Abraham also loved God more than he loved his son because he was willing to give him up to the Lord. And Abraham trusted that God would indeed provide for him, even if this promised son should die, that God would still keep his promises. Abraham feared, loved, and trusted in God above all things, even above his son. Abraham was willing even to give up his son in response to God's command, trusting that God even could raise the dead. And would we do the same? Are we willing to do the same with the things that we have, and even the people that we have? God has given us all many blessings in this life, just as he gave Abraham many blessings. He has given us these things, and would we be willing to give them up as well? Are we willing to fear, love, and trust in our Creator, in the giver of these blessings, more than we fear the loss of these blessings, more than we love these blessings, or more than we trust in these blessings? We can easily make anything in this world a god, a thing that we trust in more than our Lord, that we are not willing to give up for our Lord. Whether it be our cars and our homes and our jobs, our careers, our activities, or even our family and friends, are we willing to be faithful to our Lord, even when that faithfulness might mean that we lose some of the things that God has given us? Abraham was willing to fear God, to love him, and to trust in him more even than his very own son, through whom God said he was going to give all of these other blessings and even give the Messiah. Abraham trusted in faith that God knew what he was doing, that God was right, even above his son. But this story does not only teach us something about Abraham's faith and trust in our Lord and his promises. Not only do we see there an example of great faith and trust in our Lord, but we also see a picture of what our Lord would do with Jesus Christ, his Son. It taught Abraham, gave a preview of what he was going to do in the future on another mountain, and teaches us again of what our Lord did on a mountain for us and for our salvation. You see, after Abraham heard the voice of the angel, and he did not slay his son, he looked up and saw a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. And that ram then was taken and put on the altar and was sacrificed in place of Isaac. A ram died instead of Isaac. But a descendant of Isaac, according to the flesh, Jesus Christ, the one and only beloved Son of God, was not spared a cruel death. The wood of the cross was laid on Jesus, and Jesus went up a mountain to be sacrificed, to Mount Calvary. And Jesus was bound to the wood of another altar, the altar that was a cross, to suffer and to die. And to put it in terms of the story we've heard here of Abraham and Isaac, God the Father took the knife to slay his one and only son whom he loved. But now there was no stopping this slaying. Now on the cross, the knife of God's wrath came down upon Jesus, and he suffered the wrath of hell right there as he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? We see that in that, Jesus was forsaken by the Father on the cross and experiences hell there, the absence of the Father's love and care, which we always enjoy whether we know and believe it or not. There, Jesus is abandoned by the Father, is forsaken by the Father on the cross in a way we cannot understand, and he suffers hell there. The knife of God's wrath is laid down upon Jesus. So like Isaac, Jesus is brought to a mountain to be sacrificed. But unlike Isaac, no ram takes his place on the altar of the cross. Jesus stays there on that cross. He is sacrificed for us in our place. And then here is where Jesus is like the ram in our Old Testament reading, and where we are like Isaac. We, the Isaacs of the world, look on while Jesus is sacrificed in our place. We should have been laying there. The knife of God's wrath should come down upon us for our sins, for all of our unwillingness to fear, to love, and to trust in God above all things. Instead, the wrath of God comes down upon Jesus. And Jesus didn't deserve it. He had done no wrong. As we hear in the gospel reading for today, he is the Son of the Father. With Jesus, God is well pleased. He met the temptations of Satan, and we find in the gospels that he did not give in to temptation. He perfectly lived the life we should have lived in our place, in order that he could go to the cross and then die the death that we should have died as the perfect Lamb of God. Can you imagine the relief that Isaac felt and that Abraham felt when the angel of the Lord called out and stopped Abraham with knife in hand? What a relief for Abraham to lower that knife. What a relief for Isaac to see that knife lowered and set aside. What a relief to have the ropes cut, to get off that wood and to see the ram laid there in Isaac's place. And what a relief it can be for all of us to look on the cross and to see on a cross where Jesus is there, that on that execution device, there is someone else in our place. And it is an execution device. Imagine that instead of a cross on the top of our church, we had an electric chair or a hangman's noose. That would be a gruesome symbol. And for it to be empty, waiting for someone, is not as good as having the one who is put there in our place, Jesus Christ. There he is on that cross, on that wood, being sacrificed instead of us, just as that ram was laid there and bound to the wood and sacrificed there in place of Isaac. So too Jesus is laid there and sacrificed in our place. Here the Father's Son, his only begotten Son whom he loves, was taken to this mountain and was sacrificed for you. And you, like Isaac, walk down that mountain alive. You go from your baptism with new life. You walk from the Lord's Supper with new life. You walk from absolution with new life. All because Jesus has died and paid the price for all of your sins. Now may the peace of God, that passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.